Hey, this is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Travis, and to my right sits John. Three separate people.
Yet all pastors at Evangel Community Church.
Yeah, in Houghton, we're not really the Trinity. and so, well, today we're going to be talking about it's almost time for some green beer. Yes, and some Lucky Charms for the children. Yeah, so we're going to be talking about St. Patrick, and we're going to be walking through why his significance is a part of church history and what he actually did for the nation of Ireland. And if you know the story of St. Patrick, he was actually not Irish. Did you know
that? Oh, I did know that.
You did know that?
Yeah.
He was English.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, and so he was English, and I think it's the Druids that came over, captured him, and he became a prisoner of one of their campaigns to snag and to pillage a different country. And his daddy was actually very wealthy, a very wealthy man, and they took all of his dad's stuff and took the kid, who is known as Patrick, over to their homeland, and they made him a slave. He became a shepherd and was in captivity for, I don't actually know how many years, but it was years.
Six, seven, something like that?
Something like that.
A while.
He was there for a while, and really just trying to figure out how to get back home, and he goes back home and feels like God is calling him to go back to the people of Ireland and to teach them about who God is. And so he goes to seminary, and basically the Catholic Church wants nothing to do with the church in general wants nothing to do with the Irish people. They think they're barbarians. They think that they're just out of control. They think that because when they go into battle, half the time they don't have clothes on. They're like, hey, we're out. We're not going to these people. These people are destined for where they're destined, and we don't care. Patrick says, no. These are image bearers of God who need to know who Christ is. And he goes back. This is happening, 320, something like that? It's pretty early on in the stage of the church and in the stage of what's happening in the world. And so he goes over there and he starts really tribe by tribe going and speaking the truth. The people of Ireland at that time were very creation-minded in the sense that they...
Worshipping creation.
Yeah. Like they believed really in the power of the sun as kind of really the god of the time. They also looked at nature and, like many cultures, like snakes and things like that were a part of their worship. And I don't actually know if snakes were. I actually think that's a misnomer that we have in our folklore.
Yeah, I don't think there were any snakes in Ireland. Which
the idea that
that's why I loved St. Patrick. That's my favorite thing about him as a kid. Get rid of the snakes.
But they had animals. If you look at some of their crosses or something like that, even after they were converted, that they were using that naturalistic understanding of who God is, which is actually a biblical idea. In Romans chapter 1, it says that no man will be with excuse because the very creation, it displays the qualities and characteristics of God. And so we can know certain things about the Creator just by looking at the creation. And they were onto that, but they didn't understand that. And so St. Patrick, he would use both the natural, which is, I think, really a Bible in and of itself. It's not special revelation. It's natural revelation. But it's speaking of who God is. When we discover something or we understand something differently, God already understood that, and he created it in that way. And St. Patrick played off of that and helped people to understand the special revelation that we're sinners in need of a Savior, mm-hmm. and that Savior is Jesus. What are some of your first experiences with St. Patrick's Day?
And I just remember we would do the thing when you're in elementary school and, like, you'd color leprechauns on coloring sheets, or, you know, the shamrock shakes from McDonald's are always good. But I didn't come from a big Irish community. We had lots mm-hmm. of Norwegians where I grew up at. So it wasn't a big thing. Like, it wasn't like what they do down in Chicago, your home territory.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It's similar for me. Even being from the Chicago area, it wasn't in my family. It wasn't that big of a deal. We have some Irish heritage, but not enough that it's a big celebration for us. And you know, you talked about some of your experiences when, like, in elementary school. I was homeschooled at that point in my life, and we just didn't do much. I mean, I'm sure we probably wore green, but and I do enjoy a shamrock shake. From time to time, it's one of my favorite flavors, is mint. But not a whole lot of
good for the taste, good for the breath.
That's right. Not a whole lot of experience celebrating. Although I have gone to Chicago to see when they dye the river green.
Which that stuff is a mystery. What they dump in there, right? They won't tell anybody what it is.
I think that's the story.
It's like 40 pounds of
it can't be good
coloring.
It does not look right.
It's got to be cleaner than it was in, you know, the early 1800s.
Well, you know, you don't want to swim in it anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, I have actually a good story of St. Patrick's Day. I was down in Minneapolis, and my friend flew in, and he was going to sell a prototype of. What do you call those things? You nerd herd people.
A lightsaber? Stick?
Yeah, there we go.
A lightsaber. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and it had some type of, like, magnetic, like, little thing in it. And so when you went whoom or whatever you do,
that's
when you
awesome.
Get excited about those things, it turned on. And so it was kind of cool. And so he was going to sell this thing out to this company in California. So he had to go to Minneapolis first, and he had a 4-hour layover. So we went and had lunch together. I hadn't seen him in a while. And it was St. Patrick's Day. Well, the place was just crazy. Like, there's people all over the place. And I left my lights on. Not a big deal. We tracked someone down. They were going to give us a jump. Well, in my beautiful Ford F-150 year 2000, it has this special feature that if you hook up cables to it, it automatically locks the doors. And so we started the thing up, and I shut the door to go take the cables off, and now we're locked out.
Yeah.
And he has to get to the airport. And so we go, and there's a policeman there, because police are there to help you. Even
that's
in
right.
Minneapolis.
Look for the helpers.
And so he go across the street and ask the guy, and he's like, nope. And I'm like, why? And he's like, well, it's for insurance purposes, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, well, I do have a coat hanger. So we start trying to get this thing out with the coat hanger. It doesn't happen. But I have at home, when I bought the truck, they had an extra rear window. I said, well, let's just knock out the rear window and put it back in, because that seems to make sense. So we do this, and there's glass like everywhere.
Oh, yeah, because those things shatter.
Yeah, we get in to the car. We get him to the airport. I get him there in time. He's going to make his flight. And the funny thing about this whole thing is that when he was leaving the airport, left his ticket he threw his bag in a locker and locked
it. Oh, no.
Well, now he can't go past security because he doesn't have a ticket, so he had to buy another ticket.
Oh, man.
And we chuckle about that to this day. But it was during St. Patrick's Day, so that's one of my fond memories of St. Patrick's Day. I think St. Patrick, though, one of the things that I think is just so fascinating about him is his heart for those people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these are people that held him captive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some of the things that happened, and I think that there's estimates of 10,000 converts because of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of what happened there is he actually loved those people.
Yeah.
And he chose to go back to them. He did not have to go back to them. He could have lived in privilege,
mm-hmm.
And he chose not to. Does that sound like anybody else?
Hmm. Travis sound like anybody to you?
It's ringing some bells, but I'm not quite there yet.
Well, let me help you other two out. It is Jesus. Uh-huh. He left his glory in order to come down to people who he knew were going to treat him poorly, yeah, and who were in a place where they were so broken and away from God that they needed a savior, mm-hmm, and that savior was him. Now, Saint Patrick wasn't the savior, but he was a pointer to the savior.
Yeah.
And he goes back to those people and he begins to go tribe by tribe by tribe. And really, he began to speak to the leader of each tribe. And if the leader of each tribe would accept Christ, then the whole community did, which is a really interesting – we don't do that here in America. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like we have tribes and, like, it doesn't work communally like that. But there – and I think that's part of the other part of his success was in helping people to know and meet Jesus and follow him was that part of it.
Well, and he's following Jesus in Jesus' words to love your enemy. You know, this is one of those amazing stories to most. I mean, to me, it's so far outside of what my reaction would be after being, if I was enslaved by these people, for him to say, okay, I they're my enemy. Clearly, they've identified themselves, and yet he's following Jesus' command to love them even though they are his enemy. And like you said, Jesus models that. But it's also something that he commanded his people to do. And it's St. Patrick is a very good story of someone who was taking that command seriously and living it out.
And I think just even that some of the legends about him of the driving out snakes thing even incorporate some of that of a biblical picture of what Christ did. Like, he came to be that sacrifice for sin. When he comes into our life, we're new creations in him, and I hate snakes. So if I can look at that story of St. Patrick driving out the snakes, that's like sin. Get it out. Make them jump off the cliff. I hate that stuff.
Well, and another part of this too is, like, I don't – correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think there was a whole lot of people in the church banging down the doors of Ireland to go and evangelize and tell these people about Jesus, right? I mean, there's a reason that St. Patrick is so important and why most people just assume he's Irish, because there weren't a whole lot of other – priests going over there trying to,
right,
tell them the truth. They were sort of the forgotten, or at least looked down on people. And I think this just makes sense to me that God would work in this way.
Yeah, they weren't just forgotten; they were enemies. They were pawn scum. They were lower than low. They were, the guy who killed your sister or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, he still goes over there.
It's a beautiful redemption story, which is the story of Christ too.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't go back to the place where they're trying to kill me and be like, mm-hmm, oh, yeah.
There's this story of St. Patrick and his just relationship with nature. And I think God kind of supernaturally gifted him in some of that stuff to be able to speak into the culture of the Celtic people. And there's a story that they climb this hill and they're looking, they're going to put a church up. And there's this little doe in the weeds. And everyone else is like, delicious, let's kill it and eat it. And Patrick says, no, we're not going to do that. He refuses to do it. And instead, he caught the fawn himself and carried it on his shoulders. And the doe followed him like a gentle, loving sheep until he released the fawn on another hillside. And there's this just really incredible connection that he had with God's creation. I think that is that the Spirit of the living God was on him.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this it affected even the responses of animals to him. And so there's all these stories and tales of him in connection to creation, birds coming and landing on his hands and him feeding them. And we have the folklore of the snakes and that stuff, but that's not really true. But I also think that there is this connection that he had with the Spirit of God and his creation that enabled him, God gifted him mm-hmm. in a way to be able to actually speak into that culture. Even though when he went there, scripture was still the primary. It was still God's primary mode of revelation to those people. Even though they knew some things, they were very confused. One of the things that you will see is the Celtic cross, and there's the circle. And some say that the circle represents the sun. The sun in the sense of S-U-N, not S-O-N. And right. It represents that Christ is even above the sun. And mm-hmm. so some hold to that idea. Some of it's just been lost because it was, you know, a couple thousand years ago yeah. that all this went down. But it's just a picture of him trying to help them to merge these things in a way that they would understand.
Well, sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
It's the Irish people wear the shamrock pin on their lapels when they celebrate St. Patrick's Day. I don't know if this is part of the legend or if this is part of the truth, but the reason that they say they use the three-leafed shamrock is because that was what he related to them and how to present the Trinity.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if that one's totally legit or not, but he's got – I mean, there's lots of cool nuances to the story.
Yeah, I mean, he reminds – that – example and the example of the sun added to the Celtic cross, it makes me think about Paul preaching in the Areopagus, where he's trying to say, hey, look, you're looking for something, you're not going to find it the route that you're going, but let me show you, there's a God, the God who created everything, and he's you know, he's using their language to help them understand and their imagery to help them understand, which I think is
He uses their poet.
Yeah,
he uses their poet, and that, and he uses, you know, one of their gods to kind of help them to help them along, and I think that's a really helpful thing for all Christians. As yes, we are to speak the gospel. But I think another thing that he did, St. Patrick did in his kind of walking with these people, is he would go in and go, what is still good about this place?
Yes, right.
And let's bless those things that are good, and let's curse those things mm-hmm. that are not good. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really interesting way to pursue people for the cause of Christ, is what is actually good. We often start with this idea of sin, and it is like it's all through the scripture. We're all sinners in need of a savior, yep. and that savior is Jesus, and we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I think the approach of how you get there to help people realize that was the same thing that Jesus often did.
Yeah.
He spoke truth, but he did it in a gracious way. You know, I'm often reminded when I think of that truth and grace is the woman caught in adultery.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You don't have just one husband, you've got five. Mm-hmm. And he called it out still, but he said, then go and sin no more. But there was this whole connection already made in that. And I think that's a really helpful thing, is if you're a follower of Jesus and you want to share the gospel, is figuring out how to relate to people. Figuring out, like, you know, most people are not going to respond immediately to the four, what are the four basic laws.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you're a sinner, you know, what? Whoa, that's a little bit harsh. What are you doing here? You're telling me I'm bad. And I feel like I'm good, but to help to appeal to their conscience and to walk through that with them, to give them some background. These people had no background information, and we're starting to live in a country that is very much like Ireland.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to war naked, but we are a post-Christian,
far from God,
nation, and they were a pre-Christian nation. they're just on the other side of that.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, as we think about how to share who Jesus is, I think we have to think in those terms. And I think he has a really unique way of helping people. And the other thing is they would go to the town, and I always thought this was interesting, and they would observe it for a bit. And they would pray, literally pray, for the blessing of this and what they were about to do. And it's really, he was dependent upon God for the movement in people's lives. And I think the same is true for us, is God, give me words, give me the situation, help me to understand. It's not just say it and spray it. And
yeah.
And yet there is a time to say it and spray
sure.
it.
Sure, yeah. yeah.
Well, and have you heard of St. Patrick's breastplate? I believe it's a prayer. Have you guys heard that one?
I have not.
So I was looking that up, and I think it's called Alorica is the Latin term for it. It's a, I believe, a Catholic thing. But that just – that was like attributed to St. Patrick. That was like his mission statement. And it's pretty cool because he was on mission. It was all about Christ. Mm-hmm. And part of that prayer is Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, beneath me, above me, my right, my left, when I lay down, when I sit down, when I rise. Christ is the one that speaks of or through me, is Christ in the mouth of everyone. Mm-hmm. And that's his goal. He wants in every eye that sees him to see Christ.
Yep.
Every ear that hears what he's saying, he's pointing back to Jesus.
Well, that goes right back to what Jesus built the church upon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Jesus, if you remember that story, listeners, it's Jesus is talking to Peter. Peter is the guy who is usually the mouthpiece mm-hmm. of the disciples. And Jesus asks a question. He says, hey, who do people say that I am? And they're like, well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're a prophet, some say, oh, you're a miracle worker. And then he makes a transition, Jesus does, in his question. He says, who do you say I am? And I think that there's a pause, and everyone looks at Peter because you don't want to get this one yeah. wrong, right?
Like the red face, Bernie
yeah,
feel.
Yeah, and so he looks at – I think they look at Peter, doesn't say that, and Peter answers, he blurts out, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mm-hmm. And Christ isn't Jesus' last name. Christ means Messiah. You're the anointed one. You're the chosen one. You're the one we've been waiting for. You, and then he says, you are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, upon this rock, which is a play on words there, it's not – Peter's name in Greek is Petra, which means rock, and yet he says, upon this rock. So he wasn't building his church on Peter. He's building his foundation on this statement. Like every church of all time from year one to year now mm-hmm. is built on one foundation, and Jesus is the cornerstone. And that statement has to be true. And I think that's what St. Peter was doing in that prayer, was helping them to build that cornerstone. If you want to look this up, read 1 Peter. He talks about this and talks about Jesus as the cornerstone, and that statement is all through that, and to help to understand that. So, yeah, it's this idea in our lives that we have Christ as our cornerstone, and that's what he brought to the people, and I think that's what we need to bring to everyone who will listen, and say we want people to meet, know, and follow Jesus because he is the true cornerstone of this world.
I hope as you all listen to this that you're struck with the contrast between what we've just talked about what St. Patrick was about, the person, and how we celebrate, right? It's another one of those holidays where it's like, whoa, where did we go with this, you know? So I think the hope in all this conversation –
I'm still eating Lucky Charms.
Hey, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
If I can find a Shamrock Shake, are they still doing that?
I have no idea.
It's good, but yeah. – Are we?
Well,
the hope
it should
is
bring
we'll,
us back. To,
yeah,
it should bring us back. Like when yeah. you're eating your Lucky Charms, drinking your green beer, or yeah. having your Shamrock Shake, yeah. it should bring you right back to Jesus is the cornerstone.
Amen. And I'm thinking, how do we talk to our kids about this and say, hey, that green is fun. The stuff you're doing at school is fun. All the treats and things that go with it. Here's why this is a thing. Here's why we even remember this guy.
Yeah. One other thing, we're going to give something away today for free. If you have ever heard of Right Now Media or haven't heard of Right Now Media, we have something called Right Now Media, and we have it for you for free today. It is the Christian Netflix, and it has all kinds of Bible studies on there, and it really has this incredible section for kids. And I want to challenge you, if you email travis@evangelup.org, we will get you hooked up with Right Now Media. And there is, it's called Torchlighters, and there's the story of St. Patrick on there like you've never seen before, and it's awesome for kids. I learned a lot when I watched it. It was good. And want to give that away today. And so Travis at evangelup.org, and we'll give that to you today.
That's awesome.
That's all we've got for you guys on Good News You Can Use with Pearls and Swine, a podcast from Evangel Community Church in Houghton, Michigan. If you guys liked what you heard today or want to hear our previous episodes, you can search us out on your Apple or Google devices. You can always contact us, travis@evangelup.org, with any questions or if you've got any suggestions for future episode topics. Thanks.